Okay, Shalom Aleichem. We're going to not exactly continue what we saw last week. We're going to be moving to another area of the Kuzari now. Mamar Sheni, Ois Chafei. And here we're going to be painting an intricate picture. We're hoping Siyata Dishmaya to properly bring out the delicate picture that Kuzari is trying to paint for us here. Ois Chafei. The non-Jewish king challenges the Jewish Chacham with the following question. Again, we're in Mamar Sheni Ois Chafei. But again, you don't need a sefer. I would like you to try to explain to me what I read about the Karbanis in the Torah, which seems to be go against the Seichel. The way the Torah expresses it is, you have to provide my carbon, my bread to my fires for a pleasant smell, right? It says about the carbonis, it's as though, so to speak, we're supposed to be providing Hashem with food and with pleasant odors. How are we supposed to swallow that? We feed Hashem, Hashem eats. So Omar al-Khaver. So the sage answers, Masha Omar li Ishai mi asher kol kosher. He says the answer to the question is in the pasuk itself. Hashem says, serve my korban, my bread, to who? He doesn't say li. He says you have to serve it li Ishai, to my fire. Which already tells us, is what does it mean? We have yet to explain. But it's already telling us that we're not feeding it to Hashem. Okay. What the pasuk means to say is that this carbon, this bread, this pleasant odor that is being offered to me, amnam hem liishai, they should be fed to my fires. Meaning what? Etzene loyma ha'eish hanifeles ledvorei yisbarach asher ma'achola ha'korbanos. What that means is, and he adds another important piece. And then the kehanim. What this means is, there is a process here of offering up this food, but it's not being fed to Hashem, obviously, right? As far as we're concerned. What Hashem says is, you have that fire. That is a representation of my presence. We all understand that the fire isn't Hashem. But yet, the fire in the Mizbeach was something divine. Right? Eish yered min Hashemayim. It was a manifestation of Hashem's presence. It was, you saw Kvod Hashem there. This is what, throughout the Sefer, he calls it Kvod Hashem. When Hashem shows you he's there through something that you could actually see. This is how it worked with the Anan, right? The covet of Hashem appeared, meaning Hashem is showing you, look, I'm here. You see elsewhere in the Sefer where he elaborates on that. You kind of think of it in terms of, if like a mashal, if the president is going to be visiting, it's not even a lousy example these days for like someone very chashuv, trying to give the Rebbe, okay? The Rebbe is going to be visiting some area and, you know, everybody's there. There's the whole reception is there. Everybody's there. And then the crowd parts and, you know, a procession of cars comes through. And then right in the middle is a black car, sleek black car with tinted windows. You can't see inside, right? And you say, there's the president or there's the Rebbe, right? That car is not the Rebbe. but there's already a certain awe because you know that this shows you that he's here. This is how you know that he's here, right? Hashem used signs of what he called his kavod, signs of his presence. In the Beis HaMikdash, there were quite a number of them. And one of them was the fire in the Mizbeach. That was a divine manifestation of Hashem's presence. It was Eshir bin Hashemai. And this, Hashem says, you offer my carbon to it. But, again, are you actually, what are you feeding exactly? So he's expanding it a bit. He's saying, no, part of that process is also the Kayhanim eating. It's also the Kayhanim eating. They're certainly understanding you're not feeding Hashem, right? But there's a process here of connecting to Hashem by taking something of ours and moving it in Hashem's direction. We'll see. He's going to build up what exactly is going on. But this is what he's showing now. And that happens at different levels. At one level, it's the Kayhanim eating, right? When you are feeding the Kayhanim, so to speak, the meat of your karbanis, and thereby feeding, so to speak, the process of the Avodas Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, right? You are offering of yourself up to Hashem, right? And then it goes higher than that. You're making an offering which passes through a few levels, getting higher and higher. Higher than that is what's actually placed on the fire and consumed by that mamish direct representation of Hashem's covenant. Okay? With me on this meanwhile? Okay. So now let's see where he's going to take this. Hakavana bezeh tikkun ha-seder. And the point of this all, it's not to feed, well, anyone for that matter. It is to set things up such, so that Hashem's presence should actually rest there. Meaning as follows. Here he's building a very delicate picture. And I'm going to preempt what he's about to say here. He says, take, for example, the neshama that each of us have. The neshama that each of us have, do we feed the neshama when we eat breakfast in the morning? You have a bowl of cornflakes. One spoon for yourself, one spoon for the neshama, one spoon for yourself, one spoon for the neshama? No. But let's say you were to skip breakfast and lunch and supper for a few days also. The neshama would part, right? The neshama depends on food? The neshama depends on your eating? Yeah. But not because the neshama needs the food. The neshama will only rest on you if you feed that connection. You're feeding the connection through eating. If you're not going to eat, the neshama won't be there. The food is not going to the neshama. Okay? Right? Now we all understand? So you have to nourish the connection of the neshama to the body by eating. The connection, the neshama doesn't need to be nourished by your food. But the neshama's connection to the body does have to be nourished through food. It has to be nourished through other things also. But in a very basic way, when you eat, you are enabling the neshama to be connected to your body. You have to do more things in order for the neshama to be properly connected to your body. You have to have an alert mind. Otherwise, the connection will be feeble. You sleep well, you're healthy, you're fit, the neshama will be more connected. Your mind is clear. The neshama will shine even more. And if you leave it more than that, if you work on your midas, right, and you try to lead a pure life, the neshama's connection to you will be even greater. So you're nourishing the neshama's connection to you on a number of different levels, on a very physical level, right? And there are a lot of conditions for the neshama to be connected to you. And it's not just that. The connection of the neshama is not just a question of yes or no. The connection of the neshama is a question of to what degree. Now you can have a person whose neshama is shining through him much more intensely than it is on the other guy. But in a very basic level, it starts with you have to eat. Otherwise, the neshama will go away. And you nourish the connection even more. You make it even healthier through other physical and spiritual measures that you take in order to really enable the neshama to be very profoundly connected to you and to shine through you. But if you were to decide to neglect any of those things, the neshama wouldn't be weakened. the neshama would be fine. The neshama wouldn't be tired. The neshama wouldn't be hungry. It just wouldn't connect with you. That's all. So what are you doing? You're nourishing the connection. Okay, so now we have to understand that this is true on the national level also. The nation wants the Shekhinah to be its neshama. The nation wants the Shekhinah to be connected to it. That connection has to be nourished. It has to be fed. We feed it through the karbanos. We feed it through the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. The avodah in the Beis HaMikdash is kiviyachol, making the Jewish people as a nation fit and capable of carrying the neshama, carrying the Shekhinah. So the connection of the Shekhinah to the Bnei Yisrael, to Am Yisrael, is parallel to the connection of the neshama to the body. Just like the connection of the neshama to the body has to be fed through all kinds of measures that don't really affect the neshama, so too the connection of Hashem to his people has to be fed through karbanos, has to be fed through the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, has to be sustained through this avodah. Even though, if you were to take all this avodah away, once again, the Shekhinah is not, chalila, going to be hungry. It'll just depart. It just won't be there. That's all.
But this tzibur connection for most people is very limited. It's, I give my donation at the beginning of the year or part time, and it goes for the tzibur. I understand I can bring my own personal karbanos when I want, and I can take on additional things. But the tami, the musafi, the Shabbos, every yantif, it's very limited. It's not, what more do I do?
The Baruch is asking. The Baruch is asking. So Lamais, at the end of the day, we're talking about arresting the people through these means. Where does the individual fit into that picture? Very nice. You have the connect my shekel a couple of times a year, and that's all. So let's see. We'll see. It's a lot more profound than that. We'll see as we go along. I just got a notice that the connection is unstable, so I'm apologizing in advance if we lose the connection. I'm going to try to reconnect if we lose it, but I'm apologizing in advance if we do lose it. Okay, so now let's move on. I says, it's mamish the same on the personal level, with the nefesh. That is also Hashem connecting to the individual. When the neshama, if you want the neshama connected to a physical body, you have to have yourself set up for that connection to take place, both physically and spiritually. Physically, like we said, if you're not going to nourish your body, the neshama won't connect. If you're dead, the neshama won't connect. And therefore, you have to eat three meals a day if you want the neshama to connect, even though you are clearly not feeding the neshama. But things have to be set in place in order for the neshama to connect. Right? So, when it's set in place, then the king, the seichel, which is the manifestation of the neshama, can indeed rest upon the person, and it can guide the person. And it can remain connected to the person as long as he sustains that seder. Now he says, a fool, a superficial person might think that, look, the neshama needs food because the neshama is only there as long as you're feeding it. But no. Hashem set it up that the connection needs to be nourished by a physically healthy body. But if not, the neshama isn't losing anything. It just goes away. So now, I'm skipping a little bit to the next paragraph. This Allah in Yonah Eloiki. So when we're talking about a divine connection, when we're talking about Hashem connecting, Hashem is certainly above. Hashem is above being affected or being malnourished, his nourishment, so to speak, depending on kol ma sheyesh b'seder ha'avoda, by the full system of the avodah in Beis HaMikdash. Now, voida of kabbanas, victorious, is miras, machal, and mishdal, tachis, hatorah, baktusha. The system, in order for that system to work, there's a whole system of avoida with a lot of precise detail, right? Karbanas, k'tayres, the singing of the Levim, and a lot of eating and drinking has to be going on by the Kehanim. All that has to be done, besides all the details of the avoida, it has to be done with Kedusha, with Tahara, with great intent. Ne'amar b'hem, all these things are described as avoidas Hashem, service of Hashem, lechem elikecha, the bread of your God, other such expressions. All this is really just a way of expressing the way things need to be set up, having things properly in place. Klal Yisrael, by the Kehanim, right? As you said, Klal Yisrael are contributing their part to this whole system by providing the funding and also through other means, the Mahamadis, etc. And the Kehanim, who are doing the next level of this system, the Kibulai Minchasam, which results in Hashem accepting their Mincha, Halder Chadimian, for example, the Chulai Etzam the Kavod Lahem. And the effect of this system is that it connects, it creates that connection. It creates Hashem resting on the Jewish people. Now Hashem is above enjoying that food or drink. What it is for, we are feeding that connection with us. If we want the Shekhinah to be connected with us, we feed it through this food and drink, so to speak. The fats burnt on the Mizbeach, the wine poured on the Mizbeach, is all supporting and nourishing the healthy connection. We're a robust Klal Yisrael. We're a fit Klal Yisrael with the Shekhinah, the Neshama of the Jewish people, healthily and profoundly connected. Now, he says it's just like you need, in order to have the heart and the brain functioning properly, which is really where the primary function of the person lies, in order for the heart and the brain to be functioning properly, you have to have the stomach, the liver, the kidneys, all of them taking the food, processing it, working it through, nourishing themselves, and then they move on to the heart and the brain. They very much refine whatever food is coming into the system, and the much more purified parts are actually sent up to the heart and the brain. But this whole system has to be working well in order for the heart and brain to be functioning healthily. Now, also, in order for that system to be functioning healthily, it's not enough that the stomach is healthy and that the liver is healthy and that the kidneys are healthy. It's very critical that there be healthy arms and legs also. You know why? Why do you need healthy arms and legs in order for the brain and the heart to be functioning optimally? Why do you need healthy arms and legs? Exactly. Because you have to get the food into the stomach. So there are a lot of layers to the system, right? There are a lot of layers to the system. You need the arms and legs to go get the food. They move them into the stomach. It takes it to the next level. It refines it, passes some of it up to the heart and brain, enables the heart and brain to function healthily, which in turn then enable the neshama to be connected to this system, right? So now, uklalo shel davar. So he says, the idea of this all is shiyeh hamezeg kulay mitukan mezuman. You need the whole system, the whole physical system, to be healthy, to be to be functioning optimally, lekibla an hogas hanefesh hamedaberes, in order for it to be a resting place, in order for it to have that connection to the nefesh, asher he etzam nifrad, which is essentially something separate, karov leetzal hamalachim. The nefesh itself is really classed with the malachim. It's classed with the upper spiritual bodies that have nothing to do with flesh and blood. The yachul baguf chul malchus van haga. But if the body is setting itself up healthily, then the nefesh will rest upon it and crown the body. Okay. So now, I'm skipping a bit. Kein nista uma hachayo elikis. So the same applies with Klal Yisrael. Now we're talking about the uma as a body, which is meant to set itself up healthily on the national level, so that it will be able to indeed bear, to carry that divine connection, the Shechina resting on it. Kasha Amar Yeshua, like Yeshua said, "Bizois teidun ki kel chai bekirbechem." Through this, you'll know that the kel chai is actually resting among you. Nifalo ha'esh becheifetz alikim b'tzoisay b'kum. So how does it work? We are offering it up, right? Like you said, the whole nation is or offering their shkalim. That is then turned into behemoths that are then offered up, right? And it's turned into behemoths and keteris, etc. The flesh of the behemoths are eaten by the kohanim. That's moving it closer. The fats of the behemoths are burnt on the outer mizbeach. That's moving it closer. And then you have the more refined parts of the offerings of the Bnei Yisrael. What's that? The keteris. That's moved even more inward, inside the heichal. It's a more refined fire. It's burnt on the inner mizbeach. That's moving the whole business even closer. It's moving Klal Yisrael even closer. That's kind of like we said before, right? We have the hands, the feet, leading the hands to the place where they take bread. They shove it down into the stomach. The stomach refines it, sends the more purified parts to the heart and mind, which then are able to function healthily. But this is what we're doing also. The shkalim are sent upward. They turn into behemoths, keteris, etc. A whole system with various strata. The coarser things on the outer mizbeach, the more refined elements moving upward and inward to the inner mizbeach, feeding the system, bringing it to the more refined and more refined places. And that Ish Hashem is Hashem responding. When we're doing that system properly, you see the Ish coming down in Hashemayim and consuming it. And it's showing, yes, I'm here accepting it. And that's where you see the connection taking place. That's where you see the connection taking place. What's that? Oh, that's right. That's right. The Daka Min HaDaka goes to the Kodesh HaKadosh.
Upgrade further. It's just
finer. Beautiful. Beautiful. That's right. I would say I have the fats outside. The Keteris, that's just plain Daka inside. The Daka Min HaDaka goes to the Kodesh HaKadosh. That's right. So, and yes, the place where it takes effect is, it's like a whole system, starting in the most refined, almost aphysical way, with that fire, right? And then the keteres, you have the shemen of the menorah, which is a little more physical, the keteres, which is a little more physical, the fats outside, which are a little more physical, which is kind of like bringing the Shekhinah, so to speak, from its most spiritual place, bringing it down, grounding it in Olam Hazeh, and bringing it step by step out, right? Out from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, to the Mizbach, to the Menorah, to the Mizbach HaKteris, to the Shulchan, out further to the more physical Mizbach HaChitzayin, and then out further from there, the Shekhinah is brought out to Klal Yisrael. It's like a power plant, harnessing the Shekhinah and bringing it out into the body of Klal Yisrael. What's that? Oh, very good. That's exactly how it's working. It's mamish amazing. It says that Shlomo HaMelech was able to plant different types of trees going different for that are shaykh, different climates. He had them all around the Beit HaMikdash. So it's mamish the way you just described it. This is how the Mefarshim explained it. The Lemaisa, all the Shefa to the entire world was streaming to the Beis HaMikdash. Just what? The Shefa that's going, let's say, to the climate in the Africa, where only there can you grow a certain type of fruit, was so dark that like you couldn't really latch onto it in Eretz Yisrael. It's not that climate, right? Well, it spread out there. Shlomo HaMelech was able to pinpoint on this line is where that thread is running. We can plant it right here. And just bringing out, illustrating how it mamish manifested in a physical way. But we'll see more as he goes along. So, vayamakayim chula. And yeah, the way it rested was, shuman chel be'al karbonas v'asara, the fats of the karbonas. Vashananana Ketores, and then finer than that, the smoke of the Ketores. Vashmanim, and even finer than that, the smoke of the oil of the menorah, right? B'derech ha'esh ha'sha'inena nitles, which is then fueling the fire. Ha'sha'inena nitles kem b'chelev b'shuman u'b'shemen. It's fueling the fire that can only be fueled by oils and fats, right? These are all fuels, all these things that are used. He says it's mamish like, again, we're talking in primitive terms, in terms of the science, but you get the idea. He says you have the bones, which are supporting the broader system and shielding the inner organs, which is supporting the blood, which gets even finer, which is all supporting life itself, right? We refer to blood as life itself, right? The blood is being dealt with by all these organs. It's being protected by the bones. It's being protected by the flesh, by the skin. And that is the carrier of the basic nefesh, which is then the carrier of the neshama. It's also the system of coarser to finer, all fueling the existence of the nefesh in the person. Hashem tells you to set up the infrastructure for these things. What's that? The outer mizbech, the inner mizbech, the menorah. And on top of these, you put oilas, the ketores, the shemen amor, the shemen amishcha. Okay? And like we said before, it's going from more coarse to more and more refined in order to enable to actually connect with Shekhinah itself. And then the Shekhinah, in turn, then channels through all those things back out. On the Mizbach HaOilah, we have the big outermost fire. Mizbach HaZav, and that's a big copper nechoshes, which can handle a big fire, right? More coarse. And then you have the finer Mizbach HaZav on the inside, which is supporting the more refined fire of the Ketores. And then the Menorah, which is even more fine than that. Now he says, okay, then you have, so what happens? It's all feeding into the divine connection of the Shekhinah. And then what happens? The Shekhinah then channels through that. You have the Eish on the Menorah, which is a manifestation of the Shekhinah, right? Which is being fed by our oil. And then what happens? Through that oil comes channeling from that finer fire of the Shekhinah, the Shefa of Das, of Chachma, that comes from the Menorah, right? So the Menorah is channeling out Shechina, which comes in the form of Chachma, which comes in the form of Das. Vashulchan, the Shulchan is channeling out Shechina that comes in the form of, again, it's all the same power. It's all the same source of power coming from the Kodesh HaKodashim, as we'll see soon. The Shechina, when it's properly fed, right, it channels out through the Menorah. The Shekhinah channels out in the form of Chachmah. Through the Shulchan, the Shekhinah channels out in the form of physical and material prosperity, physical and material bracha, right? Bracha in the crops, bracha in the wheat, bracha in the fruit, which is channeling from the Shekhinah's connection, which is channeling through the Shulchan. The David by Hashefa v'atoivas hagufiyas. That's what brings out physical Shefa and Toiva. Now you understand what Chazal said. A person who wants to become wise should position himself to the south. It's a sign of the menorah, which is expressing that that's where the influx of Shekhinah is coming in the form of wisdom. The influx of divine wisdom is coming there. Put yourself there to catch it. You want to become rich? Position yourself in the north place. That's where the Shekhinah is providing an influx of material bracha. The kol eila avoidos. Now all these avoidos, like we said before, it's building up, right? Coming from the outside, and as it makes its way inward into more and more refined levels of our offering, it's all targeted to what's actually beyond our touch, the arin and the kruvin. The arin and the kruvin. Now later, he compares how these are all different parts of the body, like so to speak. You have like the outer, the menorah, which is the outer mizbeach, which again, I'm just saying right now in a general way. We'll see, he sets it out more precisely later. But let's say, we'll just call that the stomach, right? Which is then moving it to the more finer organs in terms of the kelim that are inside the heichal. And all that is channeling it up to the aren't in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Kruvim, which are already the heart. That's what all this is channeling toward. That's where the heart and the lung of the whole system is. It's the Kruvim. It's the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's the Aron. And that's what's being sustained by this whole system. And here also, we need all kinds of different pieces in place supporting the system, just like we need fingers and nails and everything else that we need supporting our system, which is the kiyar with its base, the melkachayim, the machtois, the kaharis, the kapos, menakis, right, etc. And you also need something that will contain it all, just like the body is needed to contain and protect the whole system, the mishkan, the oyel, etc. Okay. Now all this, it also shows how in terms of the Kaihanim are carrying it, it's mamish the same way. The Levim, sorry. You have the, so to speak, lower level of Levim carrying the more outer parts of the Mishkan, right? The wooden parts, the beams, right? And then the finer level, the Kelim themselves are carried by the next level of the Levim, B'nei Kahas, right? And even finer, the Shemen HaMishcha is carried by Elazar HaKohen, right? Because this is already the Shemen HaMishcha, Elazar HaKohen, he's the one who had to actually carry the Shemen HaMar, the Keteres HaSamin, and the Shemen HaMishcha. He had to carry those things. Why? Because these carry the most refined elements of Shekhinah. Where was the Shekhinah here? It was something higher than Das that came from the Menorah. What was it? It was the highest level of Bracha that came, that the Shekhinah channeled in. What's that? It was, first of all, Ora Chochma Vadas, but secondly, Va'oid Ora Nevuah, Va'orim V'tumim. But actually, it actually carried the Or of the Shekhinah manifesting in Nevuah, right? You had physical Bracha, and greater than that, Shekhinah channeling forth Chochma and Das, and even greater than that, the Shekhinah channeling forth Mamish Nevuah. This was also something that came channeled, the Koyach of Nevuah channeled through this system also. Through what? The Urim and Tumim. Okay. So now, we're going to move on a bit. So Omar HaKuzari. So whatever it is, he's setting up, what he's basically done here was set up the whole Beis HaMikdash as a whole system comparable to the body in terms of the various levels of support for the healthy functioning body, right? In order to enable the Shekhinah to be Chal. The Shekhinah is Chal at various levels, at the more material level, at the more intellectual level, and mamish the spiritual level in its most refined form of nevuah. So now, Amar HaKuzari. So the Kuzari says, Hifleisa Chover B'mashi Dimisa. You've provided amazing comparisons here. El HaShaoish V'chushav Lo Shamati Lo Dimin. You've got up to the heart, but I haven't yet heard you talking about the head. I haven't heard you talking about the brain. Where's the brain in this system? The Shemen HaMishcha. I also haven't heard you mention yet the Shemen HaMishcha. It could be that I mentioned it in throwing out the various examples. They're saying you still haven't mentioned that. Where's the brain here? So Amar HaChover. So the Chover says you're right. Emesu, it's true. Shesheresh HaChochma Mufkad Ba'oin Asher B'hu B'Madrega Salev. The source of the Chochma, in terms of, so to speak, the head, the brain, is in the Aron, which is like the heart. Now here, let's not confuse ourselves. We're talking about heart as in something under the brain. We're also talking, sometimes we'll talk in terms of, you know, but you're already familiar with this. Sometimes the heart and the brain will be interchangeable. Until they say, where is the place of the brain? What corresponds to that? It's the Aron with the Aseres HaDibros inside.
What's the menorah and that?
What's that?
substance in the menorah is the source of chachma and the aron.
So let's see. The hiatayra, that is actually Torah itself. Like it says, v'samtem oisa mitzad arayim b'ris Hashem, u'misham teitzena shtei chachmas. I'm going to just read the whole thing and then we'll translate it. Chachmas ha-Torah v'nesa ha-Koyanim, v'chachmas ha-Nevuah v'nesa ha-Hanavim. From the Kodesh HaKadoshim itself, from the Aron, with the Aseres HaDibrisim there, that was the channel for Torah and Nevuah. Meaning the Menorah was Chachma. Chachma was certainly a very, very chashuv means of connecting with Torah. But didn't have to be that. It could be Chachma in terms of intellectual ability, divine intellectual ability. But the Torah itself, I'm not sure exactly how to define the difference. Perhaps, because Zari says later that, for example, the Sanhedrin, where were they? They were in Lishkas HaGazis, which was where? It was off the Beis HaMikdash. Mamish off the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because Zari says, because Sanhedrin rode on a lot of Siyata Dishmaya, right? They were counting on, they put in immense efforts into getting their deliberations right, but they were also very much counting on Hashem guiding their decisions to the right place, right? And therefore, they mamish were off the Heichal, off the Beis HaMikdash, in order to draw straight from the source of the Shekhinah's, of the power plant, of the Shekhinah pouring into Klal Yisrael. The Sanhedrin drew right off of that. They were right there at the beginning of the system, right? So I'm just suggesting, I'm not sure about this, but I'm suggesting that perhaps there are two aspects here. Hashem channels Chachma into Klal Yisrael. That is intellectual ability, right? But at the same time, Hashem is also channeling Torah. Obviously, you connect to Torah through Chachma. But here's Hashem just channeling Torah in and of itself. There's more Torah to connect to. You have to take all the Chachma that you gained through the medium of the Menorah, and I'll take it to try to absorb all that Torah. But the Torah itself is also something that's coming with a lot of Siyata Nishmaya into Klal Yisrael. With me on this, or is this a little bit too much hair splitting? I'm not sure. But I'm suggesting that there's a split here between Chachma and Torah. Obviously, they do go together, but perhaps Torah is something that is provided as an entity in itself. And besides that, there's a Shefa of Chachma that's given, and you can use that to connect to Torah. I'm not sure.
This is more to this from the Zohar? Or?
The Kuzari never saw the Zohar. What's the Kuzari's makar for this? I'll just say one thing, and that is that those who came after the Kuzari know that there was long periods in the Rishonim where many of them didn't operate with Kabbalah. There was a lot of human intellect brought to its maximum. Right? Call it the period of philosophy before the advent of Kabbalah. Right? And later, Kabbalah made its appearance. It was always there in a certain string, right? But we might say that the explosion of Kabbalah more happened around the time of the Rajba, around the time of the discovery of the Zohar, which is approximately at that time. Rajba was relatively later in the Rishonim. And when the Mekubalim came afterwards to line up the discussions of the earlier Rishonim with what they now knew, it said that the Kuzari was recognized as most in line with what was later discovered through Kabbalah. The way it's turned, but one of the Mekubalim said it was that he discussed a few of the different Rishonim. He said so and so was not, his philosophy was not close to the mark. That's a name that's less known. And then he said another one, a name that's much more well known, was Kolei Vela Emes Yosef. And the Kuzari was Kulei Emes. Meaning the Mekubalim came afterwards and said the Kuzari was completely in line with everything that was later brought out by Kabbalah. That's why I said the Gross said, Loisaze Vesalevi, right? That's the pasuk that it says. Loitaze Vesalevi. Hishamalchapentaze Vesalevi, right? It's warning you to remember to give Maisras. Hishamalchapentaze Vesalevi. Beware lest you forsake the Levi. The Gross said that it's an allusion to Rebuda Levi. Don't forsake the Sefer Kuzari. It's a staple in understanding Yiddishkeit. So now, whatever the case is, he's saying, you want to know where the brain is? the brain is the aron with the kodesh hakadoshim in it. That is where the influx of Torah comes from, and the influx of nevuah comes from. And again, somehow we're differentiating between that and chachma. Chachma came through the medium of the menorah. The Torah given by Hashem and the koach of nevuah was channeled straight from the aron of the kodesh hakadoshim without being modified by any of these other mediums, such as the shulchan, the menorah, the mizbeach. Then I say, who are the ones who carried that element of Shekhinah? Where did you want, if you, a person who's not in the Kodesh HaKadosh, you want to connect with those elements, those levels of Shekhinah? The Torah, right? The Shekhinah coming in the form of Torah, the Shekhinah coming in the form of Nevuah. Chochmas HaTorah v'Noseh HaKohanim, those carrying the Torah as the flow of Torah coming through the Aron was carried by the Kohanim, and that was where you, the commoner, drew off of it. The Chochmas HaNevuah v'Noseh HaNevim, and if you wanted to draw off the influx of Nevuah, the flow of Nevuah coming through the Aron, you got that from the Nevi'im. I mean, take the Kesher with the Nevi'im, that's where you got it from. Ve'im hayu, k'mo ha'yoyatim. They were the ones who were carrying out that element of Shekhinah, that level of Shekhinah. They were like the consultants of Klal Yisrael. Hamakirim, hamazhirim ha'uma, hamazhirim v'as koisim. They were the ones who were bringing the Shekhinah out to the Uma on that level, on the level of Torah and Nevuah. They were the ones bringing that most charged level of this whole power system, taking it straight from the Aron and from the Luchas, carrying it out to the Ummah, conveying it to them. These were the Kohanim and the Nevi'im. The Haim Rosh HaUmah. So you want to know, what is the brain? What's the head of the Ummah in this sense? That's who it is. It's the Kohanim carrying the Torah. It's the Nevi'im carrying the Nevi'im. That's the brain of Klal Yisrael. So I'm Amar HaKuzari. And this is really what we've been heading to. After we hear this whole system, Kuzari says, "In kein atem ayin guf b'loy roish b'loy lev." According to what everything you've just described, Klal Yisrael is a body that's missing a brain and a heart. Right? So we just also saw the whole system of the Beis Hamikdash is that source of vitality. It's the brain. It's the heart. What are you telling me? According to what you say, what is Klal Yisrael today? A corpse? Omar al-Khaber. So the sage answers, that's right. Kainhu, you're right. That's exactly what Klal Yisrael is today. But not exactly, he says. Kasher amarta. It's as you say, va'oid, v'loiguf. You said, we're like a body without a brain and a heart. We're not like a body. Aval atzamois mifuzaris. We are scattered bones. We're not even like a dead body. In terms of the vitality of Klal Yisrael, in terms of the level of Shekhinah that was supposed to be pulsing in Klal Yisrael. That's exactly what Yechezkel was referring to when he saw a valley full of dry bones. So let's understand this. Let's understand this. When we're looking at Klal Yisrael today, and we feel like, we should feel like, we have a vibrant Klal Yisrael. We have a Klal Yisrael with a lot of ruchnius. We have to understand that qualitatively speaking, relative to the Klal Yisrael in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, it's the difference in vitality between a dry bone and a live body. It's not even a corpse. That's our Yiddishkeit today. But as he's going to go on to say, and this will have to wait with Bezrat Hashem for next week, the understanding that a dry bone is still something more alive than a stone. It's something organic. There is life to it, at least in potential. We'll see. Whatever the case is, this is really what we wanted to get to tonight. It deserves elaboration, but we're just going to have to leave it hanging for the moment. The understanding that, yes, the vitality of Yiddishkeit that we have today, the vitality of Ruchnius that we have today, is qualitatively comparable to a dry bone versus a live, healthy body. Okay, let's stop here. To you. Thank you.